We think a lot about life, right? Our lives and what we're going to do and how we're going to enjoy our life, what we're going to do with our life. And we think about a lot about death, probably more indirectly, certain fears that come about. It's always around, you know, the corner, in a sense, reminding us of the finality of this life. So we think a lot about life, and we think a lot about death, although we try to ignore the reality of death. But we think little about life after death. And that is where our energy, our thoughts need to be directed much more than just on life and just on death. Life after death. And that is what the Assumption is about. It is a feast of hope because it anticipates the fullness of the fruits of the resurrection. We're just in a few minutes here, we're going to say what? I believe in the resurrection from the dead. So that we believe we're going to be raised up. We're going to be given new bodies. And the first one is the Blessed Virgin Mary, who is assumed into heaven. So this feast, this solemnity, is to move our minds and our hearts, our attention, from life and from death to life after death. And what a difference it could make in our lives if we spent more time meditating and reflecting upon life after death rather than just our lives here, right here and now, and the fear and the trepidation that comes around death. It would put those things, it would put life and it would put death into perspective for us, right? Instead of being complete, all fearful of death and consumed with our lives, we would have right order, right thinking when it came to our everyday living. So how do we begin thinking more about life after death? Well, the Israelite people and the early Christians, they give us the pattern of thought, the way of belief that's been passed on from one generation to the next. Do you know what that's called? Tradition. That is that the tradition makes up the deposit of our faith. And so from the second reading that we'll hear tomorrow, so there's a set of readings for the vigil, and then there's a set of readings for the day of the solemnity tomorrow. Both of the second readings are for Corinthians, but tomorrow's second reading has to do with how through one person, death entered the world, and so through Christ, life in the resurrection came through one man. So what they believed is through Adam, that basically every human being, generation after generation after generation, was infected with sin. Or in theology, we call that concupiscence, this disordered tendency towards sin. And that there's no way that we're not going to choose sin. That's how strong it is within us. Our will is curved, as St. Augustine says, in on itself. And so This was not hard for them to believe. That's why, you know, if you look in the book of Numbers and Exodus, it says when a father sins, his sins will be on his children and their children to the fourth and fifth generations, right? So, like, sin is passed down. And when the Israelite people were thinking about faith and thinking about sin, it was never about me and God. It was always we and God. So what you did very much mattered. That's foreign to us, isn't it? Because it's about my personal relationship with the Lord. Individually, I relate to the Lord. What you do doesn't really have much effect on me. That was not the mindset whatsoever. And that's not the mindset of our faith. So we kind of have to cultivate this because it's not part of our cultural, you know, cultural way of relating to life. So this very close relationship between everything that we are and everything that we do. That's how the Israelite people believed. And so from Adam, they had no problem. Yeah, they inherited it. And so that's why they could say with Jesus Christ, if he resurrected from the dead, he became one of us. And in becoming one of us, he shares life with all of us. And we're all drawn in through his life. So resurrected life could enter through Jesus. So this is the mentality. And it's kind of interesting It's very much connected even with our stewardship way of life. In the second reading for tomorrow, for the Assumption, we hear St. Paul say that Christ is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. He's the first fruits. So he's the first one to have resurrected from the dead. Well, the first fruits for the Israelite people, what did they have to do with? That all of the people, everything that they did, the farmers, right? Those who worked in other arts and services, whatever was there, the first product. So for the farmer, for the first product of the harvest, the wheat, the first part, the first 10% always went to God, and it was brought to the liturgy, to the sacred worship, as an offering to God. And you know what they understood? When I give the first fruits, the first 10%, we would look at it as our time, talent, and treasure, that when I give the first fruits, the first 10%, the tithe, then I'm actually offering all of my crop, all of my life to God. That's how they saw the connection. And so St. Paul uses this language to talk about the resurrection. So if we kind of, in a certain sense, connecting with the Israelite people, if we get stewardship in the sense of that I'm bringing my offerings, my sacrifice, my first fruits, the first product to God, then everything is given to God. It's all connected. And with here, if Christ is the first fruits of the resurrection, what St. Paul is saying is that if Christ is resurrected, he's the first. And so the entire corpus, the entire body, the entire community is going to be caught up into the resurrection. This is some deep stuff, but it's really good. And it's very important for us because we need to spend time reflecting and meditating and thinking about these things because it's not on our radar screen. And if this teaching and this understanding of life and God's plan, if we're not turning it over and working through it and ruminating on it, there's no way we're going to appreciate the church's teaching on life after death. And if we're not thinking about life after death, guess what? We're consumed with life, just right here and now, licking the earth, and we're tormented by the fear of death.